We had a wonderful time last night, didn't we? That was love, laughing, and having a good time with family. And y'all are my family. Let me see if I can get this slideshow started. We've been going through the book of Hebrews and made it through three verses of Hebrews 11. So we're going to get to verse 4. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we begin our study. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather around your word this morning as we look into these things, Lord. I pray you, Lord, that you'll quicken it to us. Give us an understanding, Lord Jesus, so we can read between the lines. And I pray, God, that you'll just prepare our minds, Lord, to receive the word that comes forth in the sermons today, Lord God. Grant it, Lord, that you'll just bless the services, we pray in your name. Amen. Now, Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." So if you want to have a good report, if you want to please God, you've got to have faith. And we were kind of laying down the last few Sunday school lessons about how that faith is based upon something, not just based upon your own ideas or just like somebody came to Brother Branham and said, I could just put my hand on a tree and I'd have faith. No, you got to base it on something. And we base it upon God's word. And so all these things that Paul says leading up to chapter 11 is to ground us that we can trust what God said, that he gave us two immutable things. God that can't lie made a promise on, made an oath on top of that, and all these things that to give us confidence, to build us our confidence up that we can trust what God says. We can believe what God said. Now Hebrews 11 has all these examples that when you believe God, something's going to happen. We're not just believing for something in vain. And one of the first examples I want to look at is the life of Abel. So verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were not seen were not made of, which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know, like I said last Sunday, that should give us confidence to know that if the worlds were framed by the word of God, well, what kind of effect can the word of God have on our life? That the word of God can have an effect on the cosmos and the very earth that we're standing on to hold it in its position and situate it so that we can have life and breathe air and all those things all by the word of God. Then what kind of confidence should we have that the word of God would have an effect in our own lives? And so that's the kind of confidence that all these great heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 had, that they knew that if they trusted God, if they trusted what he said, that something was going to happen. And so in verse 4 it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous." Y'all excuse me this morning. "God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Now you think about what a situation that was, that Abel had heard the story about how his parents were had to leave the Garden of Eden and what had happened there. And I was reading a quote yesterday where Brother Branham said that Adam and that Cain and Abel had been instructed by Adam and Eve, and just growing up, they had heard all the little stories about how that God clothed them when they were leaving the Garden of Eden, and that their covering of fig leaves wasn't good enough, and all those things. And you see now Cain and Abel were really on the same level as far as that goes, as far as the education that they had and the kind of the background. But there was something that set Cain and Abel apart, something that differentiated them. One had something the other didn't. And what Abel had was a revelation from God. You see, a revelation is what makes the difference. Revelation is the thing. And the maniac of Gadara, Brother Ram said, "Look, come in here at Abel, not with a working, not trying to work something up." And that's what we do sometimes. We try to force it. We try to try to make it happen. But it's got to be just something natural that comes. "Wrapped a little vine around this old sheep's neck, and here he come pulling him up there, throwed him upon the altar, and began to beat his throat and killed him." What a strange, horrible looking situation. But Abel did all those things because he had a revelation of what God required. You think about what that revelation gave Abel, that he knew the predicament that he was in, he knew how they got there, and he knew how to get back. And this morning you can have that same revelation, how to get back into fellowship with God. If God can reveal to you that you need something, that you need a redeemer, to reveal to you that you ain't where you're supposed to be, and reveal to you how to get back, that you need a blood covering, then something can happen, just like it did with Abel. Sometimes we forget in the story that something happened when Abel offered up that sacrifice. God recognized that sacrifice some way or another. He knew that God accepted that his faith. And he recognized that, and God recognized his faith and his sacrifice and what he came to offer in such a way that it got Cain kind of upset a little bit. So this morning, maybe if we have time, we'll examine that. How did God recognize Abel's sacrifice? You know, this is looking back 10 years ago, this is maybe more than 10 years ago. This is the very first Sunday school lesson that I ever gave was Abel's sacrifice. So that's kind of interesting for me. Why? Abel had a revelation. We're letting that soak just a minute. It was a revelation that Abel had that made him just. A revelation that Abel had that made him just. He had a revelation of the requirement of Almighty God, and he brought a lamb. And that's the only way that you'll ever be able to see divine healing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It'll be by revelation to see God's requirement. That God made a sacrifice for you. That's what you needed. The blood. That what's the requirement? The requirement is life.
Yes. Right.
Brother Brown. Well, in Genesis chapter 4, it said, if we go back, and it said, in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, as we study this out, you can kind of see the difference there. They both had a religious education. They both had an understanding of religious precepts and things like going to church and paying your tithes and being a good citizen and all those kind of things. But see, that's not good enough. Just going to church and warming the pew and keeping the lights on and all those kind of things is not good enough. The difference is a revelation. You got to have a revelation of what God requires. And Brother Bram said, in the faith that was once delivered to the saints, he said, now look at Cain in the Garden of Eden. Cain, when he came back to Eden, he was just as religious as he could be. He was just as religious as he could be. He brought flowers and so forth and put them on the altar. He brought the fruits of the field and laid them down. He believed in God. He worshiped God. He sacrificed to God. He built a church to God. Just as religious as he could be. I got all these highlighted so it really stands out to us this morning. Just as religious as he could be. And Abel rolled him up a rock and made him a church of worship place. Cain had all this stuff, all these things that he was doing, and all this religious things that were backing up what his form of worship, but Abel just rolled up a rock. It's simplicity. If you know a revelation of your God, a revelation trumps all the religious forms. And like we were sharing how when we went to Nicaragua, we got to take a look at one of those, this big Catholic church, and they had all the forms and all the gold plated things and all of that, all that built up, and big models of all the different things of Jesus's life, and a thing that you could look at of Jesus being crucified and Jesus rising from the grave and all those things. But yet where's the revelation? Revelation is what separates the thing. Revelation is what makes a difference. Brother Bram said, in the face that was once delivered to the saints, he said, if you can only see this, you'll see the greatest thing you've seen in years. Look, not because I'm standing here saying it, but if you can understand how it is that faith is not something mentally perceived, but it is a revelation of God by faith, not intellectual, but by his heart. Oh, you see, now there's the difference between Cain and Abel. Cain was coming in with a mental understanding, an intellectual understanding based on what his mama and daddy had taught him. See, that's how sometimes we come to church and Brother Ram would, he would constantly say, you can't go on anybody's coattails based on just what somebody's told you. You got to have your own personal revelation for yourself. And you come like Cain did. Cain was just coming with the best he knew how. But he was missing the revelation. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, a couple of chapters ago, we studied that out, and we began to realize that God wants us to not just serve him in this form like Cain was doing. He wants to purge our conscience from dead work. What is dead works? Dead works is when you're just coming to church and you're going through the motions without revelation, but you're trying to do it by works, because you see other people that are paying their tithes and they're you know, paving the parking lot or doing things, baking cookies and doing all the things that church people do. But without a revelation, see, the revelation is what brings the thing to life. Revelation is what allows you to serve a living God that will come down and recognize your faith like he recognized Abel's, that will recognize your faith like he recognized Noah's faith, that when Noah believed in, the flood came and the rain began to fall. And Enoch, when Enoch believed, that he got a body change, he left the earth. Because when you believe God, you're serving a living God, a living reality, you're not just going through some kind of dead works where you're just trying to work something up, serving him by a mental. There's the difference between Cain and Abel. A mental understanding, an intellectual understanding, and a revelation. And what is revelation? Revelation ties you to something eternal. It is a substance. It's something that you can hang everything on, that nobody's going to take away from you. So, something that it is something where God's going to come and back it up, like he backed up what Abel believed. When Abel believed God, God came down on the scene and consumed that sacrifice by fire. And you come to God with that same kind of faith, and he'll come and fill you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He'll recognize your sacrifice, your faith, the same way that he recognized Abel's faith. So now you got those two. Well, the two differences, that the tree of knowledge is full of like mental understanding, education. That's why I think Brother Brown was so against education. Not education like if you're going to have a job, you got to be educated at least enough to be able to, to know how to swing a hammer and nail a nail, or you know, put wires together if you're wiring a house. Not that kind of education, but when we come together and we just get so educated to where we think we know a lot. It's just mental, and that begins to take you away from God. But a real revelation is the thing that ties us back to God, where God can work through our lives. That's the difference. Education and revelation. See, God, Brother Brown was never against you knowing something and being able to provide for your family, being able to provide. But when education takes you away from God, where you just start getting built up in what you know, and you can get, you know, like a doctor can get so educated where they think they understand how everything works and how your body works. And they, you know what education will not tell you about? Education can tell you about how trees work and how all the different components of your body and things. But one thing education will never be able to tell you about is life. Brother Ram said you can go out and look at the grass growing in the field, and that you can look and figure out all the chlorophyll and all that stuff. But one thing science will never be able to tell you is how life came in that piece of grass. You see, that's what the gospel is for. That's what Abel's revelation was really about, life. That when they had to leave the Garden of Eden because life got messed up. He was born the wrong way, and the way back was through life, the shed blood of an animal, the shed blood of Christ. That's the way back, is through the life of God in the believer. That's what makes the difference. Life, God's life. God's life is his revelation to you. When God reveals his word to you, that's the life of God coming in your life and showing himself to you and revealing himself to you so that it makes his life living in you. There's the difference. Now, I don't mean to preach this morning. I'm going to get carried away. God hiding himself in simplicity, then revealing himself in the same. Brother Bram said, notice he built this altar, and he's more like put flowers and fixed it up and put beautiful trees and thought, surely a great, holy, clean, beautiful God will accept that sacrifice. But what's the requirement for God to accept your sacrifice this morning? God wants to see your faith. God don't want to see your dead works and just coming to church and living out trying to work something up and make it happen. God wants to see your faith in God's word. But see, he done it with his own wisdom. He done it by his own thoughts. And that's what it is today. They do it by their own wisdom, by their schooling, by their education and ethics that they have learned. But Abel, by a revelation, by faith, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. nothing clean about it as far as it looked, humanly speaking, the little fella, and grabbed him by the neck and wrapping a vine around him like that and pulled him along to this altar. There was nothing so beautiful about it, laying him upon the altar and hacking his little throat with a sharp rock until his blood flying all over him, him bleeding, dying. It was a horrible sight to see. It was a horrible sight when Jesus died on the cross. And it'll be a horrible sight when you die to your own self. Because whenever life comes, when life was given on the cross, it was a horrible sight. And when life comes into you, it'll be a horrible sight, laying on the floor, snotting and crying out to God. When God fills you with his life, it's a horrible sight because you're dying out to yourself. Oh, that's what God wants. He don't want just dead works, but he wants a living reality in the life of the believers. And he said it was simple. It was simple, though. In simplicity, he knew that he was born of his mother and father's blood. There's Abel's revelation. If you want to ask this morning, what did Abel see? He knew that he was born of his mother and father's blood. His mother and father's life. And there's the problem. Born in his mother's blood by his father's blood, and it was blood that caused the fall, so it was blood that would take it back. What's Abel's revelation? Life. Life is in the blood. He come by the wrong life. He come by the wrong way, and it would take life to bring him back. It was blood that would take it back. So he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice because it was revealed to him. Oh, you see, when it's revealed, revelation takes you beyond anything and all the education. You can come to church, and how many times maybe you've heard somebody preach a real great sermon about Daniel's 70 weeks or just something that would, you know, somebody was telling me about somebody that preached a good sermon and then they went off into the world and things. Because you can have a good education of something, but it not be revealed. Revelation goes beyond the education. Because it communicates the essence of it to you. Revelation is something, it's supernatural. Revelation is not something that somebody taught to you, that somebody educated into you. But it's a supernatural thing that God has given to you, a supernatural understanding of his word. Brother Brown said, how did Abel know what to do in order to offer a proper sacrifice to God? By faith, he received the revelation of the blood. Cain didn't get such a revelation, even though he had a commandment. He had all the education. He had the commandment. So he couldn't offer the right sacrifice. It was a revelation from God that made the difference and gave Abel eternal life. Now you might take what the pastor says or what the seminary teaches, and though it might be taught to you with eloquence, until God reveals to you that Jesus is the Christ and that it is the blood that cleanses you and that God is your Savior, you will never have eternal life. It is the spiritual revelation that does it. Oh, you see why revelation is the most important. When God reveals to you that you're born again, ain't nothing that ever going to say going to take that away from you. When God reveals to you the right way to be baptized, when God reveals to you the Godhead, when God reveals all these things to you, it's something that it's not an education. It's beyond that because it's supernatural, a supernatural gift from God. In wisdom versus faith, he said, now notice, by faith, Abel saw the revelation, the vision, and brought a living, running blood because life was in the blood. I want you to get this morning what Abel's revelation was. His revelation was life, a living running blood. It couldn't be just some animal that had been laying out there for a week, decaying. But life is in the blood. It had to be a living animal. That he cut that animal's throat and that blood run down, bleeding and everything. Life is in the stem of the flower and its botany life, which has no feeling. I was in hopes that was sinking. And Abel, by faith, staying with the word, by faith, not wisdom, by faith, he seen that it was sex, blood. The blood cell comes from the male. The male, the man has the blood cell and the sperm. The hemoglobin is the blood comes through the male. And Adam noted it wasn't apples and peaches and potatoes or whatever it was that brought them out of the Garden of Eden that caused the sin. It was sex, blood. And he offered blood back. By faith he done it, not by wisdom. How is a man through wisdom going to understand it when the whole Bible and the whole church of God is built upon divine revelation? Absolutely. By faith? Let me just read some quotes. But we got five more minutes to just kind of close and just kind of move into this thought. And Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said the germ of life is what we're talking about. To the child, come from the male sex. We know that, don't we? It's like a hen can lay an egg. But if she hasn't been with a male bird, it's not fertile. See, it won't hatch. The germ of life comes from the male. And God making his promise, the life germ lays in the male's blood. The male sex produces the life. You realize that. The female has nothing to do with it, no more than the incubator. But it's the man, the male. The sperm, the life, is in the male. I hope this morning we're looking at pattern. You can see that pattern everywhere. You can get real educated in the message. You can get real educated. Have a good education. But if the life, if God doesn't come and quicken that to you, then it's just going to be dead. You got to be with Christ. In 2 Corinthians, it says, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Not just a good education, but of spirit, of life. We got to have life. Life is the thing. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So life. What are we talking about? I'm talking about Abel's revelation this morning, a revelation of life. We got five more minutes. Y'all get your naps out in 5 minutes. Now, there's a difference. There's a difference between Abel and Cain. Cain coming with just a carnal, fleshly understanding because he'd been educated well. And here come Abel with looked like just a dirty, blood running down, a gory, nasty kind of religion. The kind of religion where people shout and people want to praise God, and it just looks nasty to the world. It looks horrible. Somebody at the altar dying and crying out to themselves. People coming up because they want to be saved. They want to be changed. See, that's what we believe in this morning, is a religion, a gospel that will change you and not leave you just serving a God based on dead works, not just trying to work something up, but a God that will change you this morning by the revelation, by the revealing of his word, of the shed blood. For in Adam all die. You've been born wrong. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. How? By his blood. By the blood that he shed for us, that released his life on the cross, that same life could come back and live in you. Now, Abel's revelation was based in Genesis chapter 2. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I think Sunday school sometimes is a good opportunity to just kind of back up a second and let's examine what we believe. So let's back up a second and look at what Abel was believing in the last 2 or 3 minutes here. And y'all, I ain't going to finish, so we'll continue on this on for the next time. Let me skip over that and go back. In Genesis chapter 3, it said, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Because they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, did what God said. He's cursing the serpent for what the serpent did, the lie that he told Eve. Upon thy belly that shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now let's just examine that for a second. We can tell here that the serpent, first of all, his first condition was he was not on his belly crawling around. So there you can see. Let's paint a picture in our mind. He's a serpent, he's a beast that he can talk and he can converse with somebody. I hope we can read between the lines here and at least see that much. That it says serpent, but his first condition was not on the ground. Right. Then he got cursed and now he's on the ground. Right. So that paints a picture for us that he was in some kind of condition, an upright condition where he could talk to Eve and tell her things. And then he got changed into something where he's on the ground crawling around. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. This is speaking of Christ. And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Isn't that what Christ did on the cross? Amen. Between thy seed and her seed. So the serpent has a seed, and there's another, and the woman has a seed. Now, if we can get a picture in our mind of what those two things are, we can start to get an understanding of what Abel saw, what gave faith to Abel. And we're certainly not going to finish that in 2 minutes. In Proverbs 30, it says, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. I'm hopping around through slides. Let's go back. Let's the serpent seed. Brother Ram said, what was the seed of the serpent? The seed of the serpent was adultery. You follow it, adultery with it. What's adultery? Now, spirit, you got spiritual adultery. I'm going to have to come to a screeching stop. We'll stop there and we'll finish next time. Always at war with the clock.